If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to get started this morning. And this has been such a vital series, because really at the end of the day, this is the heartbeat of our church. Like, if you want to know who we are, if you really want to know what our church stands for and believes in, this series, you need to go back and listen to all of them. It's a place for you. And what we do here is we want to create a place for you to find Jesus and live out your purpose. But we also want you to find people a place in your life so that they can find Jesus and live out their purpose. Amen. How do you know it's pointless if you find Jesus, but you don't let other people find Jesus through you, right? That is the goal. And so I want to start this morning with prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to move on our hearts. Amen. So, Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for, God, your word. God, we thank you, God, that it's alive and it's active. God, that it's transforming our hearts. God, that it's transforming our lives, that it's activating our purpose this morning. Lord, I thank you that we're sitting in the middle of a miracle. And this morning we can celebrate the fact that you are the God of those miracles, Lord. And so we thank you. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Amen. Come on, have you know we are about making Jesus famous. That is what we're on the earth for. Not to make ourselves famous, but to make him famous. Well, Mark chapter 2, we're going to get into this scripture. We're going to go through the first three, four verses in the beginning. And then we're going to begin to kind of break this down. And it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. So we know one thing, that he's back in his hometown, which is a place where it's hard to do miracles. He's having resistance because he's known as the little carpenter boy, right? How many of you ever go back to your hometown and you're always tied back to your past? We won't go there this morning, but we know that that is a reality. It says, soon the house where he was staying was packed, so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. Amen. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. That is creating a place for you. And as I read this and I begin to think about the tenacity of, don't you wish you had four friends like that? Amen. Don't you wish you had people that would rally around you when you're in the middle of a situation and you're in a circumstance, but you've got four friends that won't let you not be around Jesus. Amen. And as I begin to think about this, there's a book that I've been reading that's really transformed my life. And as I was reading it, one of the things that they talk about is this. It says, love is to reveal the beauty of another person to themselves. And how many of you know that there is beauty in a lot of people that they can't see the beauty because they can't see past the past, the sin, the addictions, the bad decisions, and they can't see past all of those things. But how many of you know that it is our assignment to help somebody see the beauty that Jesus created them in, right? So what is your and my assignment as believers? Your and my assignment is to close the gap from their place of non-acceptance to the gap of the place, closing that gap to where they are in Jesus's world, right? That's the goal. The assignment is to close their world from where their reality may be of nobody wants me, nobody accepts me, to the fact of Jesus actually, he died for me, right? And we all know that, right? But what provokes us to begin to live that life? What provokes us to begin to live a life where we are willing to allow somebody else to see the beauty of themselves? And so I love the story here, because this is the epitome of the kingdom. This is the epitome of the gospel of Jesus Christ being activated. And I want to kind of hit a few things that I think are super critical that you are going to face as you go through your journey loving people. Because I think that we think, oh, loving people is easy. If loving people was easy, everybody would be doing it. What's easy is sin. What's hard is living and loving people into the kingdom, right? And we see immediately that there is opposition in these four men trying to get to Jesus, right? I think that we think, oh, just loving people, there is no opposition. absolutely wrong. The enemy understands the power of that love, and so he brings everything he can against to oppose your ability to love somebody and get them into this space that's called sacred, because Jesus is in it, right? And so the first thing that I want to hit on is this point, is this. It says, love's mission is to make room for those that don't see a way. Your mission to love people is to make a way where everybody else says there is no way. It says this, right? It goes on and it says, when he reached this in chapter verse two, it says, soon the house where they were staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. See, life is full of obstacles, but love is willing to work through them. Love is willing to work through the obstacles because it understands what's on the other side of the obstacle. And I wonder, how many of us do we believe if we were to really love somebody through an opposition, through some problem, through some difficulty? Because let's be honest, if you're trying to get somebody to see the love of God, you're having to work through their issue. That means their issue becomes your issue. And so many times we got enough issues. We don't need your issues. But if you love people, you'll take on their burden because you understand the power of the burden remover named Jesus Christ. And when you put him into that scenario, you say, here, I'm going to not have to deal with your issue anymore because Jesus is going to do something about it. But see, you have to be willing to get into the crowd, and you have to be willing to get into the resistance to be able to see the miracles that happen. Right? But at the end of the day, that's where excuses kick in. How many of you know the excuses you come up with aren't from you? They're from the enemy. The excuses that you and I face and deal with on a daily basis to love people into this sacred space come from the enemy. Right? The excuses are the lies the enemy uses to move us away from the opportunities in front of us. What he does is he tells you the opportunity is an obstacle. It's something that you're going to have to fight. And the moment that we have to fight something, right? The moment that we tend to feel resistance, like, oh, that's not God. But I've found in my life and in my journey that most things that are God, I have to fight against. I have to war. When God told us to go to two services, the first thing was, I was like, get behind me, Satan. Because now I have to preach twice. Now we have to do everything twice. But you know what that did is it created an opportunity for people that are here for the first time to be able to come here and to experience the love of God. And so what I'm saying is that there is going to be opposition that you're facing, but it's going to be worth on the other side what you get to see. See, most people don't see the love of God activated in people's lives because they won't go through the obstacle. They won't go through the opposition. They won't go through the crowd. They won't go through the issue. And so they never get to see the miracle on the other side. I wonder how many miracles are waiting for you. I wonder how many people's lives are willing to be touched if you would invade their lives if you would embrace their issues. And you would have to answer a few more text messages, answer a few more Facebook replies, answer a few more phone calls or emails, or be disrupted a little bit, have to turn off that show a little early for the sake of somebody's love encounter with Christ. Look, at the end of the day, we're going to be held accountable for our ability to love people. That's what should provoke us to love, because at the end of the day, the reason that you're here this morning is because you needed a love encounter, or you've had a love encounter with Jesus. And that is where Jesus is wanting getting us. He's wanting to get us into this place of faith, that I am so full of faith in God's love that I am willing to go through whatever I've got to do to get them to it. Right, we see these four guys. Let's be honest. If I'm excited, you know the excitement of these four guys. They're like, bro, we know this guy. And he is healing people. We got to get to him. And he's like, yeah, man, that'd be awesome, but I can't walk. We'll carry you there. We're so excited for the miracle. And you can imagine the conversation that they're having all the way on the journey to this house. And they finally get to the house, and all they see is people. And what do you have to do? The point is that you've got to face, sometimes you're going to have to face a little bit of disappointment to get someone into their miracle. You're going to have to face and be, you're going to have to fight for them if you want them to see Jesus's love. Right? Sometimes it's not just inviting them to church. Sometimes it's saying, I'm going to pick you up at this time and we're going to swing by a coffee shop and we're going to go do this and then we're going to go to church. Or sometimes it's like, hey, I'm going to come to your house or I'm going to do what it's what are you doing to love people outside of convenience? Right? Because that's where miracles happen, is outside of convenience. Most of us, we get a little touch of God in the convenience zone where it's convenient and it's easy. But what happens when it's not convenient? Are you willing to press through and love somebody into their miracle? See, love is the willingness to leave your world for somebody else's. How many of you know you love your world? Like, we love our lives. We love our bubble. We love our friends. We love our comfort of our couch. Like, that's why, like, I try to invite people to my house because I like my world. Right? Because I want people to be in my world, but these men were willing to take themselves out of their world into an uncomfortable situation where they had to press and be hit on and be bumped and be bruised and be ridiculed. Why are you bringing this guy here? He can't even walk. And all of the conversations that come along with that. And what are you willing to do for the person that's probably on your heart right now, knowing that I should have reached out to that person. I should be whatever to do. I got to do whatever I can to love them. This is the thing. Why is love so crucial? Why is love so vital? Is it just because love just fixes everything? No, because love doesn't fix everything. It depends on what kind of love it is. This is the deal. Love, what love does is it reveals hope. See, there are so many people that don't have hope. They don't have hope in the next miracle. They don't have hope in their purpose. They don't have hope in their lives. But you know what? This man, if you could imagine him being paralyzed, we don't know how long. We don't know. We do know the severity that he had to be carried in a mat. So we know that he was bad. And we don't know the severity, but what we do know, it was bad. And this guy, if you could imagine his ability to have, he probably had lost all hope of his ability to enjoy life. And I wonder how many people in our world have lost all hope. The problem with is when you lose hope, you lose the ability to even want to live. See, if you don't have hope, you don't have a desire to live. Hope, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is a huge ingredient in our faith walk. So if the enemy can take away hope, he takes away everything. If you can't live your life with faith, you might as well just call it quits. But what love does is it reveals, restores, or puts in hope. And so for the first time, their ability to say, sir, we love you, we're taking you to him. I don't care what you had scheduled today. You need to go ahead and just sit there because that's all you can do anyway. We're carrying you. And we're taking you to somebody we know. And they put themselves at risk for this man. Because you know what? What if God didn't come through? That's where many of us fall prey to. What if God doesn't come through? What if he does? What if God says what he says his word will do? Right? And so understand that what you're doing when you love people is that you are putting hope back in them. You are putting worth back in them. You are putting value back in them. See, the enemy's goal is to take away and strip your life of hope. To make you feel like, I don't even know why you're even here. But Jesus died on the cross so that you could be reassured of this is why you're here. So then it goes on in verse 4, which we've read, but I want to reread it. It says, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. What a powerful statement. Because understand, today, that would be accepted. Then, prior to the cross, that was blasphemy. But what I love is that these men, see what love does is it brings the hurting into the presence of the healer. See, love takes those that are hurt and those that can't help themselves, and it brings them into the presence of the healer. It says that they ripped the roof off of the house. Now they say, theologians say that was Peter's house. If y'all know Peter, he was like, oh, somebody's going to answer for this. I'm getting my sword. Somebody's ear's coming off. Because you imagine all the people in there. We just read it and be like, oh man, that was so cool. But you wrote about all the people, you know, they had mud houses. So, and they had tile roofs. So it was dirty. It wasn't like just ripping a shingle off, right? It was like, it's nasty and it's dirty. There was a crowd full of people in the house. And these men were willing to get somebody else dirty so that this man could get healed. See, they were willing to put themselves at risk and put themselves in at a financial burden to have to pay for something so that this man could be healed. And I just wonder how many of us are willing to put ourselves in financial situations or financial burdens or financial crises for somebody else's love encounter with Jesus. Because this man was climbing up they climbed up the stairs on the outside of the build, the outside of the house. They brought him on, they said that they were flat roofs. So they got up, they just began to tear tiles. And everybody started probably ridiculing, what are you doing? And just, you know that insecurity in you that we all have? That's when those begin to get highlighted. When everybody from down low is talking at you saying, you know, who knows what was saying? Because you know some of these people weren't sanctified. There was some cuss words. There was some stuff going up at them saying, what are you doing? And they just kept ripping and ripping. And to get a man who knows how big he is down through a roof, they've got to make a pretty substantial hole. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, we're just going to, you know, do a 1x1 square and we're just going to drop you down straight. It was like, we're going to drop you right down 4x4, 6x whatever. We're going to drop it all the way down into Jesus' presence. And I think about what a radical set of friends. I mean, I would love to have some friends that are willing to take me up the stairs and do what they've got to do so that my situation can be changed and transformed because of who they put me in the presence of. You know, at the end of the day, need never changed this man's life. He needed a miracle years before that. And I think a lot of times if we look at people and we say, man, they really need, but need doesn't produce anything. Need does not activate miracles. Faith and love activate miracles. And so many times we need to move past that what people need, and we need to start activating our love and our faith towards them. Amen? See, a person, this man, we could have, and I think this is what we do in the natural, is we look at people's posture. We look at what they're doing in life. Maybe they're intentionally sinning. Maybe they're addicted to something. Maybe they're intentionally trying to avoid church. And we look at their posture and we allow their posture to define their pursuit. But how many of you know, if you looked at this man, you could have easily looked at his posture as he just doesn't want to get healed. He just doesn't want to find Jesus. But thank God that these four men didn't allow his posture to determine and define his pursuit for Jesus. And I think a lot of times we allow somebody's posture, we allow that to be the identifier of whether they really want to experience Jesus or not. And so what we do is we dictate whether we're going to love someone based on somebody else's posture. When God is saying, look, I didn't call you to love on people that look like they want to be loved on. I called you to love on people that I've put in your world. See, there is a cost that you must be willing to pay. At the end of the day, like I said, they put themselves in subject with ripping the roof off the house. They put themselves into a place of financial burden. And it was for the sole reason, the sole purpose for this man to experience the presence of Christ. That is why they did it. They didn't go to be made famous or to be put in the Bible. They did it because they understood that this man's story, he heals people. And I want you to know that Jesus is still a healer. Jesus still does miracles, and he's still working, and he's still loving on people. And I think that we have to take that serious and say, okay, I'm going to take that assignment, and I'm going to begin to love people and do everything that I can to reveal the beauty of themselves by them finding Christ. See, at the end of the day, more effort is always going to be required on you and I than on those who are called to love. I know that I've fallen prey to, if they aren't doing something, then I'm going to stop loving them. I've probably said it a few times. None of you, it's in the later service. I said it to them. But all right, but we look at things and we say, well, if you put some effort into it, but what about this guy? Because he couldn't put any effort into anything. And I think a lot of times our love is contingent on somebody else's effort and their work and what they can do and what they'll, because let me tell you this. I was talking to our team the other day. A lot of times we love people, not for the fact that they could experience love, but we love to be the person that they get to say, you helped me find Jesus. And it's the fact that we get to be elevated and we get to be lifted up and exalted and we get to be seen as this whatever. Instead of just saying, I'm willing to be a servant of Jesus like he is and be an example of Christ Jesus on the earth. But look, you're going to have to put the effort in. And even when people don't answer your text and you've texted them 15 times and you've like, are you going to come to church or will you meet or blah, blah, blah. And you just continue to put effort into them, because every time you put effort into them, you're putting hope into them and saying, look, I value you enough to text you. I value you enough to love you. I value you enough to get into your world. And look, this goes back to the sermon a couple of weeks ago about the tree. People are going to step on you, and they're going to hurt you, and they're going to abuse you, and they're going to use you. But if they find Jesus, that's all that matters. Right? Look, love is the willingness to carry someone else's burden until they can. Right? They say, this goes on and it says this. It says, but some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, hey, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. And I read this to say that all of the weight and all of the doubt and all of the energy that they exerted to get that man from his home to the healer, there was a lot of things that these guys were processing. Imagine telling a paralyzed man, he's going to touch you today, and all of the insecurities and all of the questions and all of the things on your journey from his house to Jesus. But what I love is that these four men were willing to carry the burden until this man could pick up his mat. And I think that is the epitome of love, is that we're willing to carry somebody else's burden until they can realize the power and the love of Jesus. And they're willing to say, okay, I'm willing to pick up my mat because of my love encounter with Jesus. That they're willing to say, you know what? I will do whatever I've got to do. I will exert my energy. I will exert my finances. I will exert my time. And I will take away from my family so that you can encounter Jesus. Will you carry the burden until somebody else can? In church this morning, if I was to ask you and take a poll, everybody would raise their hand. You would say, yes, I'm willing to do that. But tomorrow, when you go to work and the person you can't stand is in the cubicle next to you, can you carry their burden? When you get the email from the person that you can't stand because they are always rude to you, can you carry the burden? See, the reality changes when you leave church. Right now, we're in an atmosphere of love and faith, and we just say yes to anything. But what about tomorrow when you're in the presence of demons called coworkers or children at school? Can you carry the burden then? Right? It's so quiet in here this morning. But I love Jesus and his response, because look, at the end of the day, you all are going to have critics when you love people. You're going to say, I can't believe you're loving that person. Do you know their past? I can't believe you're loving them. Do you know what they did to so-and-so? Right? You're going to have critics. And are critics going to be louder than Jesus' ability to love them? I mean, if I'm honest, I've probably said, I cannot believe that you're doing that. And even as the pastor and the guy who's supposed to love everybody, I've probably even been honest and been like, really? I can't believe. But, and then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in their world. What I'm saying is this, is it's real easy to become the critic and not the person carrying the mat. So what is it in you that could change so that you're not critical, but you're willing to carry the mat? Right? The only reason that you will leave the critical world into the carrying the mat world is your own encounter of God's love. Because you're going to go into a world in a culture that is anti-Christ, that's going to tell you that this is not the way you should love and live. But if you have your own love encounter with Jesus, you're willing to leave the critics and you're willing to say, I'm willing to love whoever God puts in my world. So in verses 6 and 7, it goes on, but some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them. And I want you to know that Jesus knows what's in your heart. Jesus knows what's in my heart. He knows if it's our true intention to love people or just love loving people. I believe that we have to be careful with allowing corrupted hearts around us to corrupt our heart. And so don't allow corrupted hearts to be louder than your love. Don't allow, I mean, they could have, in the middle of that, I'm just thinking if I'm these four guys and these, all these people, because notice these people were influential. These people that were sitting around Jesus were Pharisees and Sadducees. They were people of religious prestige. And then these four little pompous guys come in with this guy and they just drop him in the middle of the roof. Our tendency as these elites begin to chatter and begin to make noise and begin to criticize is to pick the guy up and say, hey, let's get out of here. But I love that as the enemy tries to corrupt the enemy tries to make noise and criticize, Jesus will always silence the critic, the corrupted heart. You just keep loving, and Jesus will eventually speak out, and he will begin to do something, and he will confront, and he will speak. Because you can imagine, these guys said this. This wasn't, it was in their heart, but it eventually came out in public, right? It says, hey, I'm going to tell you about your heart. Man, aren't you glad that God doesn't do that around people you love? Hey, bro, this is how you're really thinking. Woo! But he did it to them. And imagine how we could so easily allow those people on the outside to dictate and to determine what we're called to do. See, what happens when you begin to doubt in your heart? What happens when you allow things in to your heart? It ultimately begins to paralyze your hands. See, that is the goal of the enemy, is to corrupt your heart to keep your hands from loving. See, if your heart gets corrupted, you say, well, see, I can't do that. And then what happens is you become immobile and you stop loving people. That is the goal of the enemy, is to allow those voices around you to infiltrate your heart and penetrate your heart and create doubt in you that this was even Jesus. But I want you to know this morning that there are people on mats all over your world. They may not look like they're paralyzed. They may not look like they're hopeless. They may not look like they're depressed and oppressed and full of anxiety. But I want you to know that there are people all over your world that are lit on mats that, you know what? We can't see their story, but we do know the power of love. And if we will say, you know what? I'm willing to love you where you're at. I don't understand your story, but I do understand the power of love. You will begin to see the testimonies and you will begin to see lives changed. Church, at the end of the day, we should see more miracles in the world than at church. Because of why? Because of you and us being activated in love and sharing the gospel and the good news with people. But a lot of times we allow the doubt of somebody else's story to penetrate ours and it paralyzes our hands. It makes us stop pursuing and loving people. But at the end of the day, love is going to offend people. Love offended people. Love is going to offend. But are you more concerned about who you offend or who gets to encounter Jesus? Right? I mean, we don't want to offend anybody, right? We're taught in America, we need to be proud. But people offend people every day for causes that are far less. I think it's time for us to say, you know what? I don't really care who I offend because this man needs a miracle. This girl needs a miracle. This teenager needs to know Jesus. This professor needs to encounter the love of God. And look, you have to be able to put yourself in some awkward situations, like tearing off a roof and getting those below you dirty and taking the ridicule and taking the blame so that someone else can have their miracle. What I also love is this, is that God uses your love to expose the motives of others' hearts. That sometimes when you become the real Christian and you begin to love people, it exposes people who just thought they loved people. See, these Pharisees and Sadducees, before this scenario, they would have said, I love people. I love people like I do the law and I do everything right. I love God so much. But understand that those two things are very different. You loving God and loving people, they should never be separated. But in their ability to love, what it did is it exposed those that didn't really, truly, authentically love. And this may touch our hearts this morning. This may challenge us this morning to say, I don't know if I love people like I should. And I think the greatest thing you can do is be honest with the thermometer in your heart towards people. Right, like right now, there's a thermostat back there and it's telling the degree in here. It doesn't lie. It's 60 or 70 or whatever. Some of us this morning, our thermometer's off. It needs to be at a different degree. The only thing that's going to change that is by you putting yourself around Jesus more. See, Jesus changed a circumstance because someone was willing to take a chance and bring them into an environment. Had these guys said, no, I can't get you today, Jesus would have still been willing to change somebody's life. And there are people right now that Jesus is willing to change their life. You have to be willing to take them to him. So simple, right? But man, it's difficult. Man, it's tough. Look, love creates an environment for miracles. Because these four men were so passionately loving this man that they were wanting to get him to Christ in that moment, that is actually what created the miracle. Was their ability to do what they did to get him in an environment. And in that, he recognized their love for him and his need was produced out of that. And look, I close with this, is that we will see more miracles where we choose to love. If you want to see more miracles, choose to love. Not the world love, like holding a sign, like peace, love. Not that kind of love. The God kind of love that you get by being around him, that says, I'm willing to do whatever I've got to do. I'll put myself in whatever kind of environment so that those people can encounter him. Amen. If you would stand this morning. Look, I believe this is a moment where we as believers have to be honest with our hearts. We have to be honest with where we're at and how much we love people and how much we don't love people. Because I believe it's in this moment that you are being lowered down into Jesus' presence right now. This is where you can have an opportunity to experience God's amazing love for you. So we ask this morning, Jesus, God, as we lower ourselves down into your presence, if that's you this morning, if you would, just slip your hand up, just out of faith saying, that's me, God. I need to be in your presence. I need more love. God, I need you to activate my heart so that I can love people more. Amen. Hands all over. Just keep them up just real quick. I just want to pray over you this morning. Father, you see every hand that's lifted. And God, I thank you, God, that you are moving on our hearts, God, that you are, that as we are lowered down into your presence, God, that you would challenge our hearts to love beyond our own capacity, beyond our own ability to love, God. Jesus, we ask you this morning, God, to change our worlds. God, make us aware of those around us. God, make us aware of those that are hurting and broken, those that need you, God. God, take me out of my own world and put me in their world. In Jesus' name. Look, this morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, and you would say, today, I want to make Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you prayed a prayer long ago, but you've never lived the life. You've never had a true encounter with Christ. Or maybe this is your first time just accepting Christ. And you'd say, I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer. If you would just slip your hand up real quick, and I just want to pray with you this morning. You say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Slip your hand up real quick. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else this morning? Thank you for that hand. Awesome. Thank you for that hand. I want to ask you, I want to meet you this morning. So if you would come down this morning, I just want to pray with you. I like to hold people's hands. So if that's you, come on down. Come on down. Come on, give them a hand this morning. Huge step of faith. So awesome. You can stay down there. You can stay down there. Look, I want you guys to pray this prayer with me. It's so good to meet you. So good to meet you. Look, pray this prayer with me, and Jesus is going to change your heart. Amen. Jesus is going to change your life after this moment. If you would just say this, dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for those sins. And you came into my heart and you changed me. So I ask you, Lord, to become my Lord, my Savior. I ask you to reveal the destiny that you have for my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. We've got some people with you. They're going to take you and give you something real quick. Come on. That's so awesome.